Welcome to the Noracast Tech Briefing. I'm your host, and today we are unpacking a truly historic milestone in artificial intelligence. An internal reasoning model has just accomplished something that has eluded human mathematicians for nearly 80 years.
It's a massive story. We are also tracking a severe cybersecurity incident. A poisoned Visual Studio Code extension managed to breach thousands of internal GitHub repositories in a matter of minutes, exposing a critical vulnerability in the software supply chain.
And later in the show, we'll look at the highly anticipated Flipper 1. The creators of the controversial Flipper 0 are back with a powerful dual-processor Linux machine, and they are taking a radically transparent approach to its development. From autonomous mathematical proofs to edge computing hardware, it is a packed episode. Let's get right into the deep dives. Our first story today represents a genuine paradigm shift in how we think about artificial intelligence and its capacity for abstract thought. OpenAI has announced that its internal general-purpose reasoning model has autonomously disproved a central conjecture in discrete geometry. Specifically, it has solved the Erdos planar unit distance conjecture, a problem that has remained unsolved since 1946.
To understand why this is so groundbreaking, we have to look at how the AI actually achieved this. This wasn't a case of an AI simply brute-forcing its way through a massive computational search space. For nearly 80 years, mathematicians widely believed that the maximum number of unit distance pairs among n points in a plane was limited to approximately n to the power of 1 plus little o of 1. The assumption was that square grid-like arrangements were the optimal, most dense configurations possible.
Exactly. But the AI model discovered an infinite family of point configurations that yield at least n to the power of 1 plus delta pairs for a fixed constant delta greater than 0. It essentially proved that more dense, non-grid algebraic constructions exist. And it did this by utilizing advanced algebraic number theory, specifically leveraging class field towers and Golod-Shafarevich theory.
That level of abstract reasoning is what makes this a watershed moment. We have seen AI assist in mathematical research before, usually by crunching numbers, optimizing code, or finding counterexamples through sheer scale. But constructing a proof using class field towers requires a deep, intuitive leap in algebraic geometry. It is the kind of high-level mathematical insight that was thought to be exclusively human. Producing a human-readable formal proof utilizing these concepts is a massive leap over previous AI benchmarks.
The credibility of this proof is also rock solid, which is vital context here. It has been independently verified by external mathematicians, most notably Fields medalist Tim Gowers. Gowers went on record stating that he would have recommended the proof for acceptance in the annals of mathematics without hesitation. When a Fields medalist says your AI's proof belongs in one of the most prestigious mathematics journals in the world, you have unequivocally crossed a major threshold.
It forces the academic community to reevaluate the trajectory of autonomous mathematical research. If an AI can independently navigate class field towers to disprove a conjecture from 1946, it suggests that these models are no longer just tools or glorified calculators for human researchers. They are becoming autonomous contributors, capable of bypassing human intuition entirely in fields that rely on highly abstract, nonlinear connections.
That brings up an interesting historical point. OpenAI has made claims about solving Erdos problems before, and some of those previous claims faced heavy criticism from the academic community. Critics argued those earlier results were overstated or relied too heavily on human handholding during the formalization process.
They clearly learned from that pushback. By bringing in external verifiers like Gowers before making the public announcement, and by ensuring the proof relies on established, deep algebraic theory rather than computational exhaustion, they have insulated this result against those specific criticisms. It is a clean, elegant, and undeniable mathematical discovery that stands on its own merits.
Which opens the door to a very different future for the discipline. If AI can now autonomously generate novel, high-level mathematical insights, the human role in discrete geometry and abstract algebra is going to shift. we might be entering an era where human mathematicians transition from being the primary discoverers to acting more like reviewers, auditors, and interpreters of AI-generated proofs.
It is a fascinating prospect. Mathematics has always been viewed as the ultimate bastion of human logic. Seeing an artificial neural network operate at this level of sophistication, not just calculating, but actually reasoning through class field towers, is a definitive milestone in the broader quest for artificial general intelligence.
Moving on to cybersecurity, we have a stark reminder of the extreme fragility of our software supply chains. GitHub has officially confirmed a major breach involving approximately 3,800 of its internal repositories. The entry point for this massive data exfiltration was a malicious Visual Studio Code extension installed on a single employee's device.
This incident is actually a direct continuation of a story we covered just over a week ago on this feed. 9 days ago, we discussed the highly sophisticated TanStack NPM supply chain attack, which was the first known worm to generate valid SLASA build level 3 provenance. Well, the fallout from that worm is still spreading, and this GitHub breach is the latest, and arguably most high-profile, casualty.
The malicious extension in question was a poisoned version of NX Console, specifically the package named nrwl.angularconsole. This extension was compromised as a downstream effect of that initial TanStack attack. What is truly alarming about this incident is the timeline. The malicious NX Console update was live on the Visual Studio Marketplace for a mere 18 minutes. It was uploaded at 12:30 p.m. UTC on May 18, 2026, and was pulled by 12:48 p.m.
Just 18 minutes. And in that incredibly narrow window, it managed to compromise a GitHub employee's device, bypass corporate security perimeters, and exfiltrate data from 3,800 internal repos. A threat actor group known as Team PCP has claimed responsibility for the attack, and they immediately attempted to sell the stolen data on a cybercrime forum for $50,000.
The fact that they are asking for $50,000 for 3,800 internal GitHub repositories suggests they are either looking for a quick flip, or they know the data will be rapidly devalued once GitHub rotates all internal secrets and API keys. But the broader issue here is the massive blind spot in modern development environments. VS Code extensions often run with high privileges on a developer's local machine. They need those privileges to interact with the file system, execute build scripts, and manage version control.
Exactly. And when you combine those high privileges with the auto-update feature built into extension marketplaces, you create a direct automated delivery channel for attackers. The auto-update mechanism is a double-edged sword. You want developer tools to patch vulnerabilities automatically to keep the environment secure. But if an attacker compromises the publisher's credentials or the build pipeline, they can push a malicious update that instantly executes on thousands of machines simultaneously.
And traditional endpoint detection and response, or EDR tools, are often completely blind to this. The execution is happening within the context of a trusted application, Visual Studio Code. The EDR sees VS Code accessing local files or making outbound network connections, which is entirely normal behavior for a code editor. It doesn't realize that a newly updated rogue extension is actually packaging up proprietary source code and shipping it off to a command and control server.
It forces the industry to ask whether the current model of relying on third-party extensions for core development workflows is an unmanageable security risk. Development teams are essentially granting deep system access to hundreds of loosely vetted third-party modules. When a single poisoned update can cause this much damage in under 20 minutes, the foundational trust model of the extension marketplace is broken.
And GitHub itself being the victim here adds a layer of irony, given their central role in securing the broader open source ecosystem. It shows that even organizations with top-tier security postures are highly vulnerable to these targeted supply chain vectors. The industry is going to have to seriously rethink how extension permissions are sandboxed, and whether auto-updating developer tools should require explicit manual approval for execution in enterprise environments. For our final deep dive today, we are looking at a major hardware announcement. Flipper Devices, the company behind the wildly popular and somewhat controversial Flipper Zero, has officially announced its next major project, the Flipper One. But unlike its predecessor, which focused heavily on low-level radio and signal manipulation, the Flipper One is a full-fledged portable ARM Linux computer.
This represents a massive step up in terms of computing capability. The Flipper One is designed specifically for high-level networking, software-defined radio, and AI tasks. To handle all of that, it features a unique dual-processor architecture. You have an 8-core Rockchip RK3576 system-on-chip that handles the heavy Linux workloads, paired with a Raspberry Pi RP2350 microcontroller that manages the system-level functions, power delivery, and real-time operations.
It is an incredibly ambitious piece of hardware, especially since the company is aiming to keep the base configuration priced under $350. But what is equally interesting is how they are actually building it. The project is currently in the early development stage, with no official release date, and Flipper Devices has decided to open up its entire development process to the public. They have launched a new developer portal that exposes their internal debates, task trackers, and engineering challenges.
They are leaning hard into radical transparency, which is a very rare move in consumer hardware development. Usually, electronics companies guard their hardware roadmaps and internal R&D with intense secrecy to prevent cloning and maintain a competitive edge. But Flipper is essentially crowdsourcing their development from day one. They argue this is to avoid the pitfalls of closed-source hardware and to foster genuine community innovation.
Of course, that open development model invites some skepticism. Building a custom ARM Linux device with a dual processor architecture, integrated software-defined radio, and AI accelerators is technically and financially daunting. Some critics have pointed out that this radical transparency might just be a strategic move to offload the high costs and risks of research and development onto a community of unpaid volunteers.
It is a valid critique. If you can get open-source developers to write your driver stack and optimize your Linux kernel for free, that significantly lowers your overhead. But on the flip side, the Flipper community is highly technical and deeply invested. Many of them want an open hardware platform exactly like this, and they are willing to contribute to ensure it gets built correctly, without locked bootloaders or proprietary binary blobs.
There is also the regulatory elephant in the room. The original Flipper Zero faced intense scrutiny from lawmakers and was even banned in certain jurisdictions because it was perceived as a portable hacking tool, capable of cloning RFID badges and opening garage doors. The Flipper One is exponentially more powerful. It is moving from basic signal replay to high-level IP networking and AI-driven analysis.
Exactly. If the Flipper Zero made regulators nervous, a pocket-sized Linux machine with built-in software-defined radio is going to set off major alarm bells. Flipper Devices is going to have to carefully navigate the legal and security concerns surrounding the device. By positioning it strictly as an educational tool and a platform for network engineers, they might mitigate some of that heat. But the optics of releasing a highly capable open-source penetration testing device are always going to be tricky.
It will be fascinating to watch how the developer portal evolves. If they can successfully harness the community to finalize the hardware design and the software stack, the Flipper One could become an essential tool for security researchers and hardware hackers. But they have a very long road ahead of them to get this from a public task tracker to a physical product shipping to consumers.
All right, before we wrap up today's briefing, let's hit a few more stories making waves across the tech ecosystem.
Sounds good. We have a couple of interesting updates regarding AI coding agents and the ongoing debate over AI copyright.
First up in the roundup, an interesting GitHub issue highlighting the friction of bringing AI to legacy systems. Developers using the Code for IBM i VS Code extension are requesting support for Claude Code to access their virtual file systems.
Right now, Claude Code expects direct local disk access, but extensions for environments like IBM mainframes use virtual file systems to stream data from remote servers, leaving the AI completely blind to the code unless developers manually copy it over.
It is a great example of the architectural hurdles AI agents face when integrating into complex, non-standard enterprise development environments.
Sticking with Claude Code, power users are demanding more control over the tool's permission modes. A feature request is asking Anthropic to allow customization of the shift tab cycle list to include the highly restrictive don't ask mode.
Currently, the shortcut cycles through a hard-coded list of modes, like default, accept edits, and plan. Users who frequently switch into don't ask mode to restrict tool usage find the current setup adds too much friction to their workflow.
And in a nearly identical request filed under a separate issue number, users are asking to limit that same shift tab cycle to just a subset of modes, skipping the ones they don't use.
The fact that developers are repeatedly opening issues about this specific key binding shows just how critical workflow optimization is when managing autonomous agents. Balancing safety controls with developer velocity is clearly an ongoing UX challenge for Anthropic.
Finally, a widely circulated blog post by Axel Kay argues that AI training is essentially unauthorized plagiarism on a massive scale, reigniting the debate over generative AI and copyright law.
The post highlights the tension between AI companies claiming fair use for training on copyrighted data and creators who feel their work is being misappropriated. With the U.S. Copyright Office maintaining that human authorship is required for protection, this debate is going to dominate the courts for years.
It certainly will. The distinction between a machine learning and a machine plagiarizing is the defining legal question of this technological era. That is all for today's edition of the Noracast Tech Briefing. Thank you for tuning in.
Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We will be back tomorrow with more updates from the edge of tech.